Exto is a small organization in number of people. Francis Foley started Exto in late 2004. I joined the company in early 2007, and then Justin Theriault joined us in 2010. And we handle a small number of specialty ingredients, typically functional or active ingredients. They can go into food, beverages, or dietary supplements. And the products we look for are products that are proprietary by some definition, whether it's patented or maybe branded and patented, some unique mode of action, some unique production method. And then Fran and Justin and I help companies launch those products in the U.S. We try to build sales, and years down the road when there's significant sales, these companies can decide whether they want to have an entity in the U.S. and build their sales force or keep things as they are. But what we look for is unique and innovative products that typically have not been sold in the U.S. or a new form of a product that has been sold previously, but this new form will be unique and interesting and offer some advantages either for consumers or manufacturing companies or maybe applications in beverages or food. So that's a quick background on Exto, and I'll jump into the Benfopure portion of our webinar. Thanks for being with us. Benfopure is a branded form of benfotiamine, and it is made by one of our manufacturing partners, Himari Chemicals. Himari is out of Osaka, Japan, and we've been working with them for many, many years. I've personally been working with them for over 10 years, and they're great partners for us. They make very high-quality products, very reliable, very consistent, very quality-oriented, and we work very well together, and we appreciate their support on the webinar today and their support every day as we move their products through the system. What I'm going to cover today is just a little bit about what is Benfopure and benfotiamine, and then the unique mode of action. I'm not going to get too bogged down in the mode of action. We can talk about it offline later. We will talk about the opportunities, the applications, meaning what categories do we want to put it in, what products would we want to consider putting it in. And then I want to talk a little bit about the science and, of course, the regulatory. The regulatory is a very significant and key component of the Benfopure brand, benfotiamine. We'll get into that a little bit more, but we feel like we're the only allowable benfotiamine source in the U.S. today. And then we'll talk about the target populations, category of use, and I'm going to end with a little bit on dosage and cost. So we're going to go from there. Let me go to the next. So Benfopure is a branded ingredient. It's essentially pure benfotiamine. There is no carrier or excipient. The C of A's typically show it as being 99.7% pure benfotiamine. Benfotiamine is a fat-soluble form of thiamine, which is B1. You know, typically we see thiamine in a multivitamin or a B vitamin complex as thiamine mononitrate or thiamine hydrochloride, and those are water-soluble forms. So this is a very unique source of thiamine, and it's derived from a very, very old source. There was an element or a compound called allothiamine back in the 50s, and these are either forms of allothiamine or derivatives of allothiamine, and that's how we come to the fat-soluble form, which is benfotiamine. And what's significant about having a fat-soluble form is it is significantly more bioavailable. It's estimated in the literature consistently at least 3x or 3 times the normal water-soluble bioavailabilities of thiamine. So that's significant, and the fact that it crosses the blood-brain barrier is also significant. And again, Benfopure is made in Japan by Himari Chemicals. They have a really fantastic manufacturing system. I've been through both of the plants. They make, as their main product offerings, they make active pharmaceutical intermediates, meaning the functional actives that go into drug products. So they're quite stringent on quality and GMPs and that sort of thing. They were recently inspected by our FDA, and that's not the first time, but they've not had any issues with that. So that's nice peace of mind as we move forward with that. The attributes of benfotiamine is, again, it's a unique branded ingredient. We are targeting blood sugar metabolism, but not exclusively. We're going to target a lot of the side stream things that go along with aging, healthy aging, anti-aging, and we'll get into that with circulation, cardiovascular things, neuropathy, nephropathy. But it all of these categories are addressing a very significant and still growing population, so it really has nice commercial potential. There is a specific scientific mode of action. We've identified that. It is intracellular. So again, we're gonna touch on that, but I don't want to get into chemistry or biology or something like that on too heavy of a basis. We can do that offline. There is significant scientific support, and there is documented safety data on this product. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a self-affirmed GRAS. So the specific production process and the resulting profile of Himari's batches, which they've been making for many, many years, it's well known, it's well documented, and that has been reviewed by an independent panel, and has been designated as safe for just about every population. We have a list of, you know, the populations we think are perfectly fine, and we may want to waive off certain populations, people with medical conditions or something like that, but generally it's a pretty broad category. And then we have a history of success, efficacy, and safe use in Europe and Asia. So the next one we have, Benfo is a white crystalline powder. It looks like sugar or salt or anything like that. It's free-flowing and colorless. It's generally non-hygroscopic, so it's pretty easy to work with. It's very stable, both as a raw material and in a finished product form. We have a three-year shelf life on our product, and we could probably go beyond that, but we're going to offer it as 3 years on the initial test. As I said, it's manufactured to a very high purity level. 99 to 102 is what the CFAs are going to show, but it's essentially pure benfotiamine, no carriers, no excipients. Capsules are the typical or traditional mode of delivery. It could go into a tablet. It potentially could go into a food or a beverage. It does have a slight bitter taste, and it may require some taste masking or some flavoring efforts if you wanted to have it in a organoleptic or a sensitive product that somebody would actually taste as opposed to a capsule. So keep that in mind from the formulation aspect, but it is heat stable. It can be compressed. It's very simple and easy to work with. So the next one, I wanted to go through just a little bit of how benfotiamine works. And as Steve mentioned, it's hard to get into this category and not talk about diabetes or sugar metabolism and the damage of diabetes and the offsets of diabetes and that sort of thing. But we're really, with benfotiamine, we're seeing a completely different mode of action. And that is that it's increasing the production of an enzyme that is safely handling excess sugar within the cell and removing that sugar from the cell before it can cause damage to the proteins. So when we don't have excess sugar, why, everything's fine and the cell operates normally and proteins are used and rebuilt and used and rebuilt, and when they become old and unneeded or damaged, they're tagged with the sugar and they leave the cell. When we have excess sugar in the cell, good proteins tend to get tagged with the sugar, and instead of being recycled, they're kicked out. And when that happens too frequently, then the cell dies, and when too many cells dies, we have organ death, and when that happens, we have all kinds of real serious health issues. But the impact, when we have that situation that I just described, that's described as advanced glycation endpoints, or it's sometimes the acronym AGES, A-G-E-S, for advanced glycation endpoints. Those are real serious things, and they happen typically as we get older, or they happen in diabetic patients who are not keeping their blood sugar in a healthy range, but they don't tend to happen to young people unless you're consuming a whole lot of sugar and you're not able to metabolize it in a safe way. So BenfoPure offers that optional metabolic pathway for excess sugar. It would be great if we could say, well, we're not going to consume any excess sugar, but sugar is so prevalent in so many things that it's very challenging to try to limit or have what health experts would consider a healthy level of sugar. I don't know if we could exist in a happy life with a healthy level of sugar, so we're probably all consuming too much. And this may be an option for us to handle it in a healthy way. And the slide needs a correction at the end. I have meaning we are interrupting, but it's actually we're not interrupting or blocking any normal metabolic processes. So it is holistic in that nature and its mode of action. The basic bottom line of this is we're stimulating transketolase, an enzyme that helps convert toxic compounds to harmless ones. And it blocks the harmful metabolic pathways that high blood sugar would create in cells. It assists the body in responding to toxic breakdowns, and it reduces the elevated intracellular glucose. This is independent of insulin. It's not a replacement for insulin. It doesn't act like insulin. It's completely different in its mode of action, and it really shouldn't be considered as any kind of replacement or alternative. Now, it's possible somebody that is categorized in a pre-diabetic condition may benefit or would likely benefit from Benfopure prior to maybe have a worsening condition that would ultimately require insulin. Because of the things we mentioned and Steve mentioned, the marketing potential is just super high for Benfopure. We're very excited about all the different applications it can be. Reducing sugar intake or its impact is a growing concern for consumers. It's a huge population. Even beyond just the sugar consumption and who's consuming too much sugar, the categories we're going to mention in a minute are going to strike a chord with just about everybody, and especially as the baby boomers are getting older, we're going to have that situation. Steve mentioned some of the stats. They're pretty staggering. 25 million people in 2012 are diagnosed with diabetes. Over 200,000 deaths are attributed to an underlying cause of diabetes. I don't know that anybody really dies specifically of diabetes. You usually have an organ failure, amputations, infections related to that, but probably more frightening is there, according to the Diabetes Association, there's 79 million Americans that are considered pre-diabetic. So the numbers are quite enormous. Here's a list of some of the product applications. It can be anti-aging, kidney function, nutritional support for the related things that we talked about, neuropathy, nephropathy, retinopathy. Blindness is a significant cause or result of poor microvascular circulation. So when we start to lose the circulation ability of the capillaries in our eyeball, we start to have blindness occurring, and that's what happens to a lot of diabetes patients. Because of that, circulation is a key target area for Benfopure, and that also brings in brain health, cardiovascular health, peripheral vascular function, as well as the microvascular, again, down to those little capillaries and the blood vessels. So what we have to address that is Benfopure. It's proven safe and effective for healthy glucose metabolism. It helps reduce excess sugar or glucose. We have a defined mode of action, and it addresses that long list and growing list of health issues, and it's safe for most populations. So it has a tremendous market potential, and it can be formulated into many different products, or it could be a standalone. It works well from a formulation standpoint combined, or it can be a standalone product. From the regulatory standpoint, this is key for us because Himari went to a great deal of trouble to have the safety data gathered, to have their production profile analyzed and their product analyzed for its impurity profiles and all the necessary heavy metal testing and that sort of thing. And then they sent it to an independent party. We've all heard of this, but if you haven't been involved in it, it's quite a lengthy process. It's quite an expensive process. And then this independent panel determines whether they believe it's safe or not, and sometimes they come back and they say, well, we need more data, or we need a trial run on this, or we're concerned about that. And so sometimes you have to go back and run more data. But ultimately, you hopefully have your panel of experts agree that your product, under the conditions you propose, is safe, and that's what happened. So Himari had a third-party review it. They determined it was safe, and then we will hopefully eventually submit it to the FDA for a no objection grass. We're not concerned about that. It's just another expensive and long process, but we have the intention to do that. But beyond that, we have literally decades of use in Europe as a drug and in Japan as a drug. We have a very, very, very low adverse event report, if any. I haven't seen a collection of the adverse events, but it was mentioned that it was essentially non-existent in the grass file. And this has been, you know, millions and millions of doses have been sold in Europe and without any issues. So the key thing here is that the Benfopure from Himari has the grass status and the regulatory position. If a product has not gone through that grass or that NDI process, chances are it's an adulterated ingredient by definition of the Code of Federal Regulations or by definition of the FDA. I've had, you know, disagreements with some people on that, but our lawyers are pretty adamant that Benfotiamine was not sold prior to October 1994. Therefore, it needs either an NDI or a grass file to be considered as a safe ingredient or a non-adulterated ingredient. We're going to touch on the scientific support just to give you an idea. And we were doing some PubMed searches. What's interesting is Himari has made the Benfotiamine for many, many years, and they have sold it to other people who have then done a lot of the testing. So we don't always have a direct connection to a study being made with our product. However, we have a pretty high level of confidence that much of this data, we don't want to say all the data, but much of the data was done with the Himari manufactured Benfotiamine. But just doing, you know, a quick PubMed, there's over 25 human studies, over 170 listings of animal and human, lots and lots of categories, lots of research, more going on even as we speak. Typically, these are some of the categories we're looking at. Helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels, endothelial function, reducing discomfort and dysfunction from the nervous system, neuropathy, and protecting against oxidative stress. It has a tremendous potential as a potent antioxidant. The other demonstrated benefits, according to the science, and then we have a collection of the science we can make available for you, supports normal kidney function, increases glucose oxidation, neuropathy, nephropathy, retinopathy is not on the list, but again, that's the restoration of the maintenance of the microvascular circulation within the eye or the vision system. It also reduces the ages or the advanced glycation endpoints, and it supports cardiovascular health. Quite a long list of topics. So trying to basically round this out, we're addressing with Benfopure a large and growing category of health issues: anti-aging, circulation, diabetes, nutritional support. There's lots and lots of published human and animal trials. There's a proven history of efficacy and safe use, and there's an attractive cost per dose, which is important. We all know it's great to have science, it's great to have a unique and interesting product, but if it costs too much, it's likely not going to have a broad-based application or a big consumer following. So what I've put at the bottom of this slide is the recommended dose. We're recommending 80 to 150 milligrams per day. That can be once a day, or you can break it into twice a day. Compliance usually makes it easier once a day. We've seen products go up to 300 milligrams. The body of the science starts at 80 and goes up even higher, goes up to 300. But with the 80 to 150, we're in a cost range of 2 to 5 cents a day. So it gets it pretty reasonable, even after contract manufacturing and handling through some distributors and things like that on the finished goods end. Consumers should be able to afford this product. It should be, you know, easily under the dollar a day cost to consumers. And again, Benfopure, we believe, is the only source with a clear regulatory status. So with that, I would like to thank you for being here. Thanks for participating in the webinar, and I'd also like to thank Himari for their significant support and for their loyalty over the past many years working together. They're a great partner, and we appreciate them being with us and helping us with this webinar today. And thank you, Steve and New Hope.
Great, Dan, brilliant. I know a few of you have already submitted questions, so we're going to jump right in. Actually, before we jump right in, while our presenters are answering your questions, please take a moment to answer the feedback form that will appear on your screen. And if you have a pop-up blocker technology, we just ask that you disable it so that you can receive the form. So now let's dive into the audience questions. A couple came in wondering about the Benfo, how it reduces the negative effects of high sugar intake, wondering if this is a blocker of some sort. Can you address that, Dan?
Yes, I would say that it's not a blocker in the sense that, you know, a typical pharmaceutical drug is stopping some normal mechanism of action. It's taking excess sugar, which would normally cause damage, and enzymatically removing it from the cell. So we have transketolase naturally produced in our cells. Benfotiamine supports additional production of that to address excess sugar on an intercellular basis.
Gotcha. And the doses that you described from 80 to 150 or more, those were ones that were represented in published clinical trials. Is that it?
Well, I'm going to say in the totality of the data, yes. Whenever you run a clinical trial, you tend to want to go to the high end of the dose so you don't spend your money and cheat the dose and wonder at the end of it, well, did I not get an effect because I didn't have enough? So in general, I think we've all seen clinical trials and realized that the doses in clinical trials are pretty high. So it's important if you have something that you can commercially offer within a clinical range, and we have that. We have clinical trials at super high doses of 300 and 600, but we have clinical data within the range we described.
Gotcha, the 80 to 150. And so does it come in a powder in a capsule?
We sell it as a bulk powder, you know, in a 20-kilo format or a 50-kilo format or something like that. And then typically the people we sell it to will make capsules. We've considered the idea of maybe making some bulk capsules just to help folks that want to expedite the process or start small, so that's a possibility.
Gotcha. So there's a few more on Benfo. Seems like there's some decent interest here. Why are we just now hearing about Benfo after long-term use in other parts of the world?
That is an interesting question. I first heard about Benfotiamine back in 2002 in talking with Himari, and they told us about other ingredients they made that might have potential as nutritional products in North America, and this one came up on the list. I think the challenge was that there wasn't at the time any patent protection, and so the significant investment of getting an NDI or a GRAS filing was daunting. And you have to be able to protect it somehow, but we finally together decided there's enough market potential and the demand is interesting enough that we wanted to just go ahead and do the regulatory work, make the product viable and commercially safe and clear of any regulatory hurdles, and offer it. And, you know, it's possible other manufacturers will go to that trouble, but it's a hurdle that I don't see a lot of companies overcoming. So we're excited. We think that regulatory hurdle has probably been the biggest thing to having this product be more popular and with a greater awareness.
Right. And so is Benfo use growing outside of the U.S. as well?
It is. It's on a steady incline in Europe where it is a drug. And we're seeing increased demand here in the U.S. I mean, there are some products out there that have been marketed, and, you know, their sales, I believe, are growing from what I hear anecdotally. So we're very excited. And I think we're going to see a good interest in this category.
Right. Someone was wondering, what do you mean by support transketolase? Does this ingredient behave like additional transketolases, or it elevates the production of the transketolase?
From what I read, it's my impression it elevates the volumes or amounts of transketolase.
Gotcha. Any adverse effects seen for the 300 plus milligram safety studies?
Not in any of the literature I've read. No adverse effects, no concerns really. We always recommend to make your healthcare provider you're aware you're taking a new supplement or trying a new supplement. And we're all each individual, biological experiments. So you never want to do a broad blanket, but at the same time, we see no reason why the general population cannot take this product.
Right. Okay, I've got one question left, so I'll ask it slowly and encourage our attendees. If you've got anything else, now would be the time. So the last question I have on the docket right here are, what are some of the best applications based on the science?
I really like the anti-aging category in the nephropathy, neuropathy category. And it's one of those challenging things where I don't see a lot of nutrition products targeting that area. So on the one hand, it's a wide open field that may be searching or demanding a product. Now, that also means that whoever takes on that role may have to hack through the wilderness a little bit to have the awareness of that application and nutritional solution delivered. But I think that's a neat application, and we've got this huge lump of our population that's in the 50s and 60s now, and we're all wanting to live longer and healthier. And these kind of nutritional products can help us live better quality lives for even longer periods of time.
Yeah. That's great. And so we have a couple more questions came in, which is great. Is Benfopure prescribed as a drug in the EU, or is it over the counter?
In Germany, it is a drug. In Japan, it is a drug. My understanding is some parts of South America, it's a drug, and some parts it's a nutritional product. In Canada and the U.S., there are no benfotiamine drugs that I'm aware of, so it would be a nutritional product.
Right. Okay, and so once again, we're down to the final question, unless someone else wants to type one in here in the moment we have before Dan answers. The question is, what's the relationship of Exto to Homari?
We are their exclusive agent or distributor for nutrition products in the U.S. and Canada. So they have we have other products. One of them is Pepsin GI, zinc carnosine for GI health. And then we have Carnolife, which is L-carnosine, a dipeptide, and then we just added benfotiamine.
Gotcha. We did receive just one in under the wire. Is this approved for use in beverage applications?
We have the GRAS filing, and we could delve into or have an augmentation for beverages. We were thinking primarily or initially the dietary supplement, even though it's a GRAS, but going, I think beverages is an interesting category. There might be a little hurdle with the taste and flavor profile, but I'd like to tackle it, so see how it goes.
Yeah. So did you get both GRAS and an NDI approval, or did you just use one or the other?
We did the GRAS method. There were a couple of NDIs submitted on benfotiamine, and I think somewhere between the quality maybe or the comprehensiveness of some of the submissions and the evolving political atmosphere at FDA that became quite negative on synthetic products, the NDIs were not. They weren't disallowed necessarily, but they neither were they allowed. They were just kind of frozen and on hold.
Gotcha.
The typical letter people would receive back is something to the effect of, we're not sure this meets the definition of a dietary supplement.
Yeah. We reserve the right to come back later
yes.
If we feel like it. All right. Well, I think that's all that we have time for right now. I'd like to thank our speakers, Steve Hansen, Dan Murray, for their great presentations and a lot of insights here. I would also like to thank our sponsor, Benfopure, for making today's event possible. And finally, I would like to thank you, our audience for your time this afternoon and your questions as well. We hope that you found today's event engaging and informative, and we look forward to your joining us for the next Functional Ingredients webinar. Thanks again, everybody, and have a great remainder of your day.